The other day, as I was praying, the Lord began sharing some things with me, and I was at the computer, so I started, tapping away and just kind of writing these things down that He was giving to me. And I'll just be honest, I don't know if this is going to turn into a series or not. I don't have a clue. All I know is this is what I'm supposed to give right now. So that's what we'll give, and then we'll wait and see what happens beyond this. Don't know what's coming up for Sunday. But anyway, turn over to Luke chapter 4. And put a marker in Luke chapter 4 because we'll be there, we'll leave, we'll come back. Golly, with this music stand right here, I almost feel like I'm in the college teaching. Luke chapter 4. Now, this message tonight is really going to be dealing with a lot of questions that that people have concerning, I guess maybe I could summarize it like this, seeing a demonstration of God's power. Because I think every one of us in here, we're to the place where we believe that God still demonstrates His power. You know, some churches, it's almost like they say He doesn't. And they put it, on Him. They say, well, He's God, so I guess He could if He wanted to, but those things really don't happen today. Well, we've kind of gone beyond that. And praise God for it. I mean, at one time we may have been there, and we knew we were going to heaven. We didn't know too much about the power, but now here we are today. We believe that, yes, I mean, power stuff still happens today. Well, in Luke chapter 4, in verse 16, it's talking about Jesus. It says, and He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And He closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now let's stop there for a moment. Now let's think about this situation. What's happened here? Well, Jesus has stood up. And He's read from Scripture, and He's made this declaration. Because when He said, this day is fulfilled in your ears, He was saying, I'm not just reading this, I'm declaring this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do all these things. All right? Now, at the sake of sounding very elementary, why was Jesus able to do these things? Well, first off, He had the life of God in Him. And you don't have to turn to this, but in John chapter 5, verse 26, it tells us, as the Father has life in Himself, He's given to the Son to have life in Himself. And then in John chapter 1, verse 4, it says that in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And there are other passages we could look at, but those two are enough, plus everything we've learned in the past, to understand that Jesus had the life of God on the inside of Him. Well, not only that, but He also was filled with the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22, we're not going to read it, but it's talking about where Jesus was baptized in water by John. He comes up out of the water. Here comes the Holy Spirit. And John tried to describe it as best he could. He says, here comes the Holy Spirit in a bodily shape, and He was so white and so beautiful, and He had His arms outstretched that it almost looked like a dove getting ready to light down upon something. And the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in chapter 4, verse 1 of Luke, it says in verse 1 that Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost and was led into the wilderness. And then in verse 14, it says that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And so, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. He had the life of God in Him, and He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then He makes this statement to the people in the church that day. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He, the Spirit of the Lord, hath anointed me to do all these things. And for emphasis, He says, this day, this thing's fulfilled right here in your midst. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and He hath anointed me. All right? We know that's true for Jesus because we read it, we see it in here, we understand that. Now let's talk about us for a moment. When we get born again, we receive the same life. There's no difference between, over there in John chapter 3, it talks about you must be born again. You know, if you come, you put your faith in me, Nicodemus, and anybody else. You know, you're going to be able to receive eternal life. You'll receive everlasting life and so forth. And many other verses that we've looked at in the past and studied, we understand that when we get born again, the exact same life is imparted unto us. Once we're born again and that life is imparted unto us, we also then are qualified to be filled with the same Holy Spirit. And we saw that manifested in Scripture. Jesus told the disciples, He says, Now you go to Jerusalem and you tarry till this promise is manifested. So they went to Jerusalem, they tarried, they're in one place, one accord, praising, worshiping, and so forth. Day of Pentecost, here comes the Holy Spirit. Cloven tongues of fire, so on and so forth. And they spoke in tongues. So that was the first time anything like that had happened. We see other incidents of the same type of thing or similar type of thing taking place in the book of Acts, and probably every one of us in here, we've experienced something along the same line, being filled with the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in tongues and so forth. So when we get born again, we receive the same life that Jesus had in Him. Then we can receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that Jesus received. So we have the same life and the same Holy Spirit. Now, look again in this 18th verse. If we have the same life and the same Holy Spirit, when is the last time you or any Christian you know of has ever stood up and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to do these things? Think about it for a moment. If we don't watch out, we could almost start to think that making such a statement is blasphemy. How could we say that about ourselves, Brother Martin? We're not Jesus. Isn't that kind of how it goes? How could you expect us to say anything? Those were Jesus' words. Well, what qualified Him to say that? He had the life of God on the inside of Him. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He stands up and He makes that statement. You say, but Brother Martin, that was Jesus. That was Jesus. Look again in verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why, Jesus? Why is the Spirit of the Lord upon you? What's the purpose? Because He hath anointed me. Why has He anointed you, Jesus? What's the purpose? Here's why the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and why He has anointed me. To preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty them bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. All right, now I ask you, what do you see in that that we can't do? What do you see in that that is impossible for Christians to do? See, we have already, in less than 10 minutes, identified a major problem in the body of Christ. We can see Jesus doing these things, but we can't see ourselves doing these things. We can see Jesus making such a statement, but we can't even begin to imagine ourselves making the same kind of a statement. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to do these things. How could you say that, Brother Martin? How could you say that about yourself? All right, let's look at this now for a few moments. Leaving your marker here in Luke chapter 4, turn over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. It's easy for us to imagine Jesus standing up and saying such a monstrous statement. I mean, just a massive declaration of purpose. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to do these things. And for us to even imagine standing up and saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to do this list of stuff. It almost sounds arrogant. Who do you think you are? What? You think you're Jesus? You can't say that kind of a thing. Well, now let's look. 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Now stop right there. That one verse could be preached in a lot of churches and get the preacher kicked out. And all the preacher would have to do is read that verse and then turn around and expound for 5 minutes on it and get kicked out. What's this verse say? It says, in essence, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're born again. If you are born again, God dwells in you. And you dwell in God. All right? Can you imagine? When's the last time you ever heard anybody stand up and say something like, God dwells in me? I mean, God dwells in me. Well, again, in some circles, if we hadn't seen things in Scripture that we've seen over the last 2-3 years, and then all of a sudden out of the blue comes a statement like that, some of us might even think, well, now hold on here. But look in here further, what he says. God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. Stop right there. How is our love made perfect? By dwelling in God, and God dwelling in us. Let me kind of paraphrase it. Having interaction with God causes our love to be perfected. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Now, as He is, so are we in this world. Now, we know that He's talking here about Jesus, but He's also talking about God. Look at it again. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he, God, is, so are we in this world. When's the last time you ever heard anybody stand up and say, as God is, so am I in this world? That is a bold statement. But that's what the Word says right here. As God is, or Jesus, take a pick, either one, God or Jesus. This is where we start struggling. We can't imagine ourselves speaking about ourselves the same thing Jesus said over there in Luke chapter 4. Then we come to a place like this, and we can't begin to think. I mean, I can't say that about me. I mean, I know me. I can't stand up and make a statement and say that as God is, so am I. That's because we struggle with the concept of who we become when we get born again. Now, this passage right here, 1 John chapter 4, verses 15, 16, and 17. Remember what these verses are saying here. These are a variation on what we're going to see over in John chapter 17. Turn over there. In a sense, these verses right here are a fulfillment of what we're going to see in John chapter 17. Now remember what we read. If you're born again, you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are in God and God is in you. And then the next couple of verses down, it says, as He is, so are you in this world. Now, in John chapter 17, take a look, beginning in verse 18. Jesus is praying, and he says, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." Now, this 18th verse would make an incredible series unto its own. And who knows, someday it might turn into one, to find out how Jesus was sent. Because if you find out how Jesus was sent and the purpose, the only thing that we can't do in essence now, I'll simplify it, we can't die on the cross for somebody. All right, we can't be somebody's sacrifice for their sin. That was Jesus. But when you go through and you begin to find out how and why and so forth that Jesus was sent, then Jesus says, "I've sent them into the world the same way you sent me, I've sent them." We can begin to understand our purpose for being down here. Well, anyway, let's go on. In verse 19, he says, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through truth. Neither pray I thee for these alone," meaning the disciples that were with him, "but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." So that extends beyond the disciples. It's all the way up to us today. Now look what he says. "That they all may be one." What do you mean, Jesus, that they all may be one? Well, "As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." One how? One in him. "I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou loved me before the foundation of the world." Now back up in this. He says, "Father," in the 24th verse, he said, "I want them to be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory." I want them to be with me where I am. Where was Jesus? Well, he tells you where Jesus was. He tells you where he was. Verse 21, "As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us." This is the where I am that he's talking about, one with the Father. Okay? Now, if you look over in John chapter 10, in fact, you might want to put a marker in John chapter 10 because we'll come back to it. In John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus says, "I and my Father are one." I and my Father are one. All right, now what do we have? It says, as God, or as Jesus is, so are we in this world. Jesus prayed this in John chapter 17. He said, "Father, I pray not just for those that have been with me during this time, but I'm also praying for everybody who's going to believe according to the word that they share. And Father, I want them to be one in us the same way that I am one with you." Well, that's exactly what we read over in 1 John chapter 4. As he is, so are we in this world. Then over in John chapter 14, you can turn over there and look at this. Verse 12, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall I do." Or the second word "works" shouldn't be in there, but "greater than these shall I do, because I go unto my Father." Well, Jesus says here that we can do the works that he did. All right, now, let's review real quickly. Jesus prayed, said, "Father, I want them to be one with us in the exact same way that I am one with you." In John chapter 10, he made the statement that "I and the Father, we're one." Over in 1 John chapter 4, we saw, "As he is, so are we in this world." All right? Therefore, the very thing that Jesus prayed for and wanted to see has come to pass. The moment that we get born again, as he is, so are we in this world. Then Jesus makes the statement, "The works that I do, you can do also." Now, think about how we pray. How many times do we keep praying and asking God to do what Jesus said we should be doing? Why do we do that? Here we are, born again, with the same life in us that Jesus had, filled with the same Holy Spirit, asking Him to do what He's already told us in His Word we should be doing. Why do we do that? That's because we really don't believe that as He is, so are we in this world. We honestly don't believe, now hang with me here, we honestly don't believe, we honestly don't see ourselves as having equal standing with Jesus and with God. You say, now, Brother Martin, I know I'm not equal to God. Not deity. Never, ever deity. Never, ever. You know, I keep saying this over and over again. Every time we talk like this, I emphasize we will never, ever be deity. And you know it, but this might be the first tape anybody's ever heard. And so they need to understand that I am not talking about deity. We're talking about the life and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We have in us what Jesus had in Him. And yet we turn around and we ask God to do exactly what Jesus said we're supposed to be doing. He said, the works that I do, you shall do also. But He qualified that, look in this 12th verse again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. There's the qualifier. If you don't believe, first off, you get born again. You have to believe on Him to get born again. At that moment, you have the life in you that He had in Him. If you follow up with that and get filled with the Holy Spirit, you're filled with the same Holy Spirit that He had. Then He says, as God is, as I am, so are you in the world. And the works that I do, you shall do also. So here we are, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, with a commission from Jesus that says, do my works. And then we run to the altars and pray and ask God to do what we're supposed to be doing. Why? If we've got the same life and we've got the same Holy Spirit, why? Why is it that we really have a hard time comprehending this? Well, 1 John, over, you don't have to turn to it, 1 John chapter 2, verses 20 and 27, it talks about that we have an unction or an anointing from the Holy One. All right, now if you're born again, and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to understand there's an anointing on the inside of you. It abides on the inside of you. But we really don't believe that. So what do? We come to the altars and we pray and ask God to give us an anointing. And here's the image that we have in our minds. Father, you're up in heaven. I'm down here on earth. And I ain't got a chance down here. So I'm asking you in heaven to send to me on earth an anointing that exists only in heaven that I can't get here on earth. And if you in heaven don't send the anointing from heaven to me here on earth, I can't do what I'm supposed to do. In spite of the fact that Scripture tells us when you get born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, there is an anointing that abides on the inside of you. So we're looking to heaven for something that's going to come from within. That's why it's hard for us to imagine ourselves standing up and saying the same thing Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to do these things. Instead, we keep hoping that the pastor invites an anointed preacher to come into to the church and spend a week with us so that we can get in the presence of the anointing. Now, I understand that, and so do you. But the reason that we believe that so much is because we fail to understand. I've got the same life as Jesus. I'm filled with the same Holy Spirit as Jesus. And the anointing that the Holy Spirit released upon Jesus, He's on the inside of me with an anointing He wants to release on me. But if I don't believe that, if I don't believe as He is, so am I in this world. It might be easy for me to believe that as He is, so is Kenneth Hagin in the world. As he is, so is Dave Roberson in the world. But as he is, so am I? No. You don't understand, Brother Martin. You don't know me like I know me. Are you born again? Yeah. Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Yeah. Well, then I do know this much about you. The Spirit of the Lord that anointed Jesus is dwelling in you with an anointing, with a Christ anointing to deposit on you. But I couldn't be Christ. Well, Christ, you know what that means? It means, well, Messiah, but it means anointed one and his anointing, and the anointing of the anointed one. I mean, depending upon the context, that essentially is what Christ means. Listen, you can't do the works of Christ unless you have a Christ anointing operating. Okay? Remember, we are not talking deity. We're talking life, Holy Spirit, anointing, and so forth. As he is, so are we. But we are not talking deity. Now look back over in Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus has stood up and he's made this statement, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to do these things." And he says, for emphasis, I'm going to throw this out to you. This scripture is fulfilled in your ears right now. Well, verse 22, "And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, is not this Joseph's son?" Now remember that verse. It's key. "And he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman, the Syrian. And they all in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him under the brow of a hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way." Now, leave your marker there and flip over to John chapter 10. Verse 30. "I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your own law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, Thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand." All right, now let's think about what's happened here. For one way to look at this, we could kind of say that Jesus was making a declaration similar to what we read over in 1 John. As God is, so am I in this world. Alright? Now, he's made that statement there in church, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to do these things. Not you. He's anointed me to do these things. And he goes on and begins to share things with the people. Alright? Twice, in these two passages, the folks wanted to kill him. Why did they want to kill him? Very simply, because He made a statement of who he was and whose anointing he was carrying. He was saying again, well, he tells you, I and my Father are one. As God is, so am I in this world. And I have the Christ anointing upon me to do these things. How can you say that? You're just a man. You're Joseph's son. You're just like the rest of us. You're no different than anybody else in this church, Jesus. How can you say that? Let's kill him. Well, in those days, they did things like that. Nowadays, they just kick you out of church. Nowadays, they just kick you out of the denomination. Now, we can stand up and make declarations about ourselves the same way that Jesus did, and the results are going to be essentially the same. Though they won't try and kill us, they'll stone us with their words, they'll call us heretics, they'll say we're speaking blasphemy, they'll do everything they can to discredit us the moment that we stand up and start saying things like, as God is, so am I in this world. You can't say that! We're just sinners saved by grace. How can you call yourself equal to God? Where do you come off teaching this kind of stuff? Well, I come off teaching it because I see it right here in the Word. This is what the Bible says about me. Well, now, we don't see that in the Bible. Maybe you ought to read it a little bit more. You might see some of these things in here. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, Father, I want them to be one just like we're one. One in us, as you and I are one. He made this statement right here in John chapter 10, I and my Father are one. Jesus, now please pay attention to this. Jesus wasn't calling himself deity in this. He was saying, I share the life of the Father. And the book of John is really the best book in the Bible to do a study on that, to understand what Jesus is saying. And many times, many passages, he's talking about the fact that he has the life of the Father. And he says right in here, look, if you're not going to believe my words, believe the works. At least believe what you see happening. And believe that in another place he says, it's God in me doing the works. But for us to stand up and make a statement like, as God is, so am I in this world. As Jesus is, so am I in this world. I am one with God. And all we're doing is saying what the Bible says. But even as I stand up here and share with you and say these words to you, exactly what we have seen in Scripture, it still kind of sounds weird for a human to say something like that. Here's why. That's because all of our lives, our religious lives, we have been trained to put faith in Jesus, but we've not been trained to believe what he said about us. We've been trained, oh, just have faith in God. Have faith in God. Just trust that God will move. Just trust that God will do this. Put your faith in Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus. And all those things are good and right. And we're supposed to do that. But when it comes, think of it. Those of you that grew up in church, churches that preached, you must be born again. And maybe even churches that preached that plus being filled with the Holy Spirit. How many times were you ever taught to think of yourselves in the same way that Jesus thought of himself in Scripture? We weren't trained that way. All of our religious lives, we've been trained to separate ourselves from Jesus. And to never think of ourselves as having equal standing with him as far as the life that we have and the anointing that we can have. Jesus stood up and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I'm born again. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Why in the world can't I say the same thing? Brother Martin, you're not Jesus. I know I'm not Jesus. But I'm equal to him in the life that I have with him. I'm equal to him as far as being filled with the Holy Spirit. So what is so wrong with me standing up and saying things like that? What's so wrong with any of us saying things like that? It's because all of our lives we've been taught that's blasphemy. You're a heretic. That's false doctrine. That's cult kind of stuff. But we're not the ones that created it. It's right here in Scripture. It's like we're convinced that God has put limitations on us. And we make statements like, well, you know, if Jesus were here, if Jesus were here, Bobby would be healed and Susie would be delivered and Joe would be set free. And the reason we say that is because we do not consider ourselves to really have the same kind of life and access to the same kind of anointing, and we flat out just do not consider ourselves to be as He is, so are we. We don't. We really don't believe that. And to take it another step further, it's like we really don't believe that the works Jesus did, we can do also. Jesus didn't say the apostles that believe on me. Jesus didn't say the prophets or the evangelists. He said whoever. I mean anybody. All of us. The works that He did, we can do also. Now, turn over in Luke chapter 4. Turn back over there again. See, the reason that we really don't believe these things is because of our religious training, not Holy Spirit training. Because I guarantee you, you spend enough time in Holy Spirit training, and, I mean, the Bible says over there, I mean, Paul wrote this over in Romans, he bears witness with our spirit, we are the sons of God. He bears witness with us that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He bears witness with us that we are His children. In fact, over there in Romans, that word children, I forget the Greek word for it offhand, but what it means is, in the most literal sense, you can't use that word unless you are literally produced by that individual. Meaning I was adopted, all right, in real life, I was adopted as a baby. Now, my parents were Everett and Mildred Martin. That's how I grew up. I mean, they took me in when I was just a few weeks old. Now, I called them Mom and Dad, and they called me their son, their child. But in Romans chapter 8, where it says that we're the children of God, that word children, in the most literal sense, Everett and Mildred Martin could never have used that word in reference to me because I was not their offspring. All right? God is trying to get across to us, we are His offspring. We have His spiritual DNA, all right? We're His children. We belong to Him. We are His. He says, as I am up here in heaven, you are down on the earth. You're not going to be deity, but you are equal to me as far as life is concerned. And I've given you the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had when He ministered. There's no difference in this. But all our religious training has literally steered us away from such a concept to where we hope God does something instead of believing His word where Jesus said, the works that I do, you can do also because I'm going to the Father. What's that got to do with it, Jesus? Because when I go to the Father, that means I will have died, been resurrected, and ascended back to the Father. When that happens, you're going to be able to be born again and be one with me and one with the Father, and you're also going to be able to be filled with the Holy Spirit just like I was. That's why you can do the works that I've done. And then we turn right around after preaching things like this and we read it in our Bible and we beg God to do something that Jesus has told us we should be doing. Now, in Luke chapter 4, verse 31, Jesus has stood up, He's made this declaration. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and He has anointed me to do these things. And as we looked at that list, we saw things that any of us could do. It's describing different forms of ministry, that any of us could do this. So He makes this statement, people can't handle it, they want to kill Him, He escapes. Verse 31, He went down to Capernaum, city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at His doctrine, for His word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man that had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone! What have we to do with thee, Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every part of the country round about. Verse 38, and he rose out of the synagogue. Now stop right there. Verse 37 is like a parenthetical statement, because verse 36 comes after, verse 38 comes after verse 36, and verse 37 is telling you, because of all these things, his reputation began spreading. So he does verse 36, or up to verse 36, and in verse 38, the day, church time's over, right, he gets up, leaves the synagogue, and goes to Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick and divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Stop! Why did they wait till the sun was setting? Because the Sabbath was over, and now they were allowed to do the work of dragging the sick and afflicted people out of the houses. As long as it was the Sabbath, they couldn't do the work of taking the sick and afflicted to Jesus. So, Sabbath is over, and the reputation had spread like wildfire what had happened in church that day. And it says, in verse 40, all they that had any sick with divers or all kinds of diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, or Thou art anointed the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was anointed. They knew he was Christ. They knew he was the anointed one of God. Now here's where we get messed up. Now please pay close attention to this. We do not see ourselves as Christ. Not as deity. Not as Messiah. We do not see ourselves as anointed. We don't see ourselves as anointed of God. Again, you can't do the works of Christ if you don't have a Christ anointing flowing through you. What? You think that the anointing that the Holy Spirit gave to Jesus is something that you can't ever touch? Do you really believe that the Holy Spirit has shortchanged us when it comes to the way He wants to move through us in power? If that's the case, Jesus could never have made the statement, the works that I do, you can do also. Because He did those works by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. How do you know? He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me. See what I'm saying? But again, this is one of those things where, oh, I could never say that I have a Christ anointing on my life. Well, I'm just little old me. You mean, you're Joseph, the carpenter. You're a man like us. That's what you're saying. The same thing that people said to Jesus. But we've been trained to think of ourselves that way. We've been trained to think of ourselves as hopeless saps waiting for the day when God gets in the mood to move through us. And the whole time Scripture is telling us over and over again, we're one with Jesus. We have His life. We share in the nature of God. Never ever to be deity, but one when it comes to life and the nature and the Holy Spirit anointing that can move through us. All right, now, I want you to think about what's happened here in Luke chapter 4, verses 31 through 41, what we just read. He was in church, he made this declaration, the people wanted to kill him. You can't say that. You're just like us. So he leaves that scene, walks down the road to another city, and starts teaching in their church services. Then the day comes where there's a disruption, a demon-possessed man. Well, Jesus cast the devil out of the man. Then a bunch of sick people are brought to him where he was. It says that he ministered to all these sick people, laid hands on them, and healed them, and cast out devils that were in many of the people. All right? And the devils, some of them shouted out, You're Christ, or you're anointed, the Son of God. I'm a son of God. Are you not a son of God? If you're born again, aren't you not a son of God? a child of God. Not second person of the Godhead, Son of God, all right? But we're part of that family. I mean, if I'm adopted into that family, if I'm his child, if I'm his offspring, then I'm his son, all right? And they said, you're anointed the Son of God. You're an anointed Son of God. Now, he cast out those devils. He taught. He laid hands on those sick people and they got healed. Did he not? First thing he did when he made that statement, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The first thing that happened after making that declaration, he teaches in their churches. He cast out devils, lays hands on sick people and they get healed. Now look over in Mark chapter 16. Some of you know exactly where I'm headed on this one. Verse 15, and Jesus, he said unto them, go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Is that not what he did when he left Nazareth and went to Capernaum? He taught, he preached in their synagogues. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. Did he do that? Yes, he did. He cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Did he lay hands on the sick, and did they recover? In fact, when you look in Luke chapter 4, verses 31 through 41, you don't see anything miraculous taking place. All you see are devils. All you see are, it's him preaching and teaching, casting out devils, and healing the sick. Exactly what he says in Mark chapter 16 that we should be doing. These signs, why? Why should these signs be following me? Especially me. I mean, maybe Brother Hagin, maybe Brother Roberson, maybe Sister Homer. But me? Me, Jesus? Yes, you. These signs shall follow you. Why? Because when I stood up that day and I said that I had the life of God on the inside of me, I made that declaration that the Spirit of the Lord was upon me because He's anointed me to do these things. Now, if you're born again, you've got the same life in you that I have in me. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you've got the same Holy Ghost that I had. There's no difference in that whatsoever. And the Holy Ghost is the one who releases this anointing. Therefore, you have access to the same kind of anointing that I operated by. You have access to be used by God with the Christ anointing, not the deity, but the Christ or the anointing. The anointing that God flows through people to do these things. And he says, if you pay close attention, as soon as I made that declaration, I went out and did the exact same things that I turned around and said, now you folks need to do the same. You need to do likewise. You need to go out there and preach and teach to people. Even if it's just one-on-one in the grocery store, you need to share with them the gospel. Because the Spirit of the Lord has anointed you to do that, to preach the gospel, all right? It's in there. Maybe not from a pulpit, maybe not, you know, out there in the park ministry, but maybe just to somebody that's riding in the car with you. You see what I'm saying, all right? Preaching the gospel isn't just the evangelist. Preaching the gospel is a Christian sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. That's preaching the gospel. And teach the Word of God, whether it's one-on-one or in a crusade with a million people. That's part of our responsibility. That's part of what that anointing is all about. And he said, not only that, but look at what I did. I went out, I taught to people, I cast out devils, I laid hands on the sick, and they were well. They were made whole. They were healed. It's the same thing that you're supposed to do. But somehow it escapes us. Now, in this, you know, the Lord began to minister to me. He began to show me some things. He's sharing with me how that until we believe that the Holy Spirit anointing can be on us, similar to the way it was on Jesus, we'll never walk in that anointing. Never. Until we believe that the Christ, again at the sake of you know, being redundant, not deity, but the Christ or the anointing, until we believe that that same type of anointing can be upon us, can be in us, can flow through us, we're never going to be operating in the works. Because Jesus said you have to believe before you're going to see these things happen. Until we believe that as He is, so are we in this world, it's going to be hard for us to begin to operate and flow in that kind of an anointing. Now He gave me, the Lord was, as He was sharing all this with me, He kind of gave me an example that I'll share in the natural. How many of you know? How many of you know what a wetsuit is? You know what they put on. If you're really old like me, you might remember that TV show years ago, Sea Hunt. All right, Lloyd Bridges and all. Okay, remember that? Grace back there says, I don't remember. No. Okay, and you know you've seen these skin divers and they put on the wetsuits. You know, really all you can see is that opening there for their face. And then they put the mask on, all right? And they have those, you know, those flippers on their feet, okay? And the Lord, it was like on the inside, he's showing me a person, you know, they put on this wetsuit and they're walking around a swimming pool, okay? And then they go to the deep end of the swimming pool. You know, they just keep walking around and around and around the swimming pool, just keep walking all the way around it until, you know, after 10 or 15 times around or whatever, they go to the deep end, 12 feet, and they jump in. All right, now there they are in the bottom of the pool, completely immersed in the water. But they're not touched by the water. But if this person reaches up and begins to unzip their wetsuit, the more they unzip, the more the water hits their body, okay? And he said, here's what it's like. The person in that wetsuit represents somebody who's born again. The wetsuit represents your body. The person on the inside is the born-again man, the spirit man that's born again. Because if the born-again man climbs out of the wetsuit, that wetsuit just flops to the ground, does it not? All right? So here you've got the born-again man represented by the real person, which is what the real person is. It's our born-again spirit, all right? The wetsuit represents our flesh. And he said, the swimming pool represents being baptized in the Holy Ghost. He said, now you can get born again and walk around in your wetsuit your whole life and just keep walking around the swimming pool. Just keep walking around the swimming pool. Keep walking around the swimming pool and never jump in. Even though it's there, if you never jump in, you never get in. He said, but jumping in represents being baptized in the Holy Ghost. But just because you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit does not mean His anointing is flowing through you. He said, unzipping the wetsuit symbolizes somebody who is born again, mortifying the flesh, so that the anointing in which they've been immersed can now begin to make contact with their spirit man, causing that spirit man to be completely wet or completely anointed with the power of God. And the way that you remove your wetsuit is through prayer and fasting and worship and the Word. And the more of your wetsuit that you unzip, the wetter you're going to get. Now, if we don't believe that the Christ anointing, or that same kind of anointing can flow through us from the Holy Spirit like it did with Jesus, and that the pattern He set for us in Luke chapter 4 and the words that He shared with us in Mark chapter 16 and John chapter 14 verse 12, if we don't believe this, if we don't believe that as He is, so are we, that we have access to the same kind of anointing that He operated in, if we don't believe that, we are not going to pray, fast, worship the Word. We won't. We will continue to see ourselves as being so far beneath Jesus, we could never, ever be like Jesus, in spite of everything that God has told us in His Word, everything that He has shared in here, every part of His plan of redemption. See, one of the biggest mistakes that the church has made is teaching us that redemption and salvation, it's just to go to heaven. Sins forgiven and go to heaven. And God says, no, no. Sins forgiven. Going to heaven is a bonus. I don't understand. I thought that was the purpose. No. If that was the purpose, Adam would never have been put down here on earth. Think about it. God intended for man to live in his own domain that God created for him. Heaven's a bonus. Heaven is where we go until, go read the book of Revelation. There's a new heaven and a new earth. So heaven's a bonus, a meantime bonus. All right? Heaven's the place where we're there for a little while. But there's a new heaven and a new earth on the way. Born again means we have access to operate here on this planet same way Jesus did. We can never die for anybody's sin. Somebody could crucify us, but it's not going to mean anything as far as salvation is concerned. But once we get born again, we've got the same life of God on the inside of us. We have access to the same Holy Spirit, access to the same kind of anointing to do the works that Jesus did, to preach the gospel, to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, to cast out devils. We have to have a transformation of our thought process to begin seeing ourselves as non-deified, yet having equal standing with Jesus in order to do the works that Jesus has commissioned us to do. Remember what he said, "Father, as you have sent me into the world, I also am sending them." If Jesus was anointed by the Spirit of the Lord to do the things that he did, and we are being sent in the same way, the anointing has to be accessible to us too. The same kind of anointing. If we can begin to change our thinking and begin to drill it into us, as he is, so am I. The Father and I are one. I am one with the Father. I am one with Jesus. I know, Father, I'll never be deity, but I am one with you. Just like Jesus prayed. I have equal standing with you in that aspect. And I'm supposed to do the things that Jesus did. I'm supposed to carry on the same work that he began. Because he has sent me into the world to pick up where he left off. So, Father, this goes against every shred of my religious training in the past. But as you are, so am I in this world. You meditate on that long enough, and you're going to begin to see yourselves differently. We can do the works. We can do the works. We can do the works. And we don't have to sit around and beg and ask God to do them. We can stand up and we can say, "Father, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to do these things. And because of that anointing, I lay hands on the sick and they recover. And I cast out devils. I do these things, Father, because that is my commission in this world." Praise God. This ought to be encouraging to you. Your religious past didn't tell you the whole story. God's Word does.